you. Thank you, Ryan, for doing it this time.
I know you must get tired.
You know, it hurts my voice. I can only do shock jock for so long.
Yeah, so we're back with yet another installment of Kino Clash. It's going to be a little different this time, but we'll get to that. I'm Ryan.
I'm Brendan.
Alex.
And I'm the empty husk of what used to be the Slimer in this once great endeavor, now hollowed out by time and hubris.
Yeah.
I'm picturing you as a big, like, discarded cocoon of a beautiful butterfly that's flown somewhere else.
The Slimer has emerged, and now he's actually a hot, babelicious babe. So yeah, like Ryan said on the top, we're kind of changing things. We talked about this on the end of last episode, but it wasn't fun anymore. The discussions were still good, but no one wanted to rewatch the movies. I greatly overestimated how fun that would be and what the interest level was. Yeah, we are now changing tone. Yeah.
And I want to preface, it's not that we're not interested in watching any of the movies, just some of them feel a lot more recent than others, kind of regardless of when we actually watch them. Like some of these we've watched a year and a half ago that I'm still not ready to go back to, and some of these we watched like a couple months ago and I'm like, yeah, I could watch that again. So it's just very subjective, and we're changing up, so the rewatch is optional. If you feel you would benefit from it, then nobody is stopping anybody else from rewatching or enjoying that. It's just not required, and you come into the conversation with what you got. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how that changes perspectives. But, yeah, this is going to be more of like, I think, Kyle, you put it earlier, more of a bar conversation, more of a this is what I think is better, and this is why it should go forward. And we'll kind of go from there with these. So.
Yeah, so what are the movies today?
Yeah.
Brendan, can you edit in bar noises in the background? Okay. Like people murmuring and bottles
shooting
clinking?
Pool.
Yeah. Okay, okay. That'll start. It'll come in kind of loud, and then I'll fade it out over the course of the entire episode, and then you won't even hear about it.
But like anytime,
I was thinking we might put like
anytime someone like is like playing pool, like, make sure you crank up the volume on that. So like the side conversation is very quiet, but like them breaking, yeah, that's ear blistering.
I was thinking more of just like a title card change, like Kino Clash, Bar Time. But I kind of like Alex's more. I like just having.
So do you want do you want to change the theme then for it?
Everywhere, yeah, you look. Everywhere. It's you go to full sitcom mode.
It's
no one sing any more of that. We do not have the money.
It's like I find some sort of like weird MIDI version of the Cheers theme.
Also, the sound of the people like, you know, hitting the pool balls and everything, make that like randomly dispersed throughout. But when Kyle specifically is talking, crank up the frequency of how often we hear those sounds.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
Anywho, yeah, so I guess the other rule change with that is we're going to be recording two matchups at a time, but they're still going to come out sequentially. So we're starting with the same planned episode as before, which is a couple of Kyle movies. Kyle, you want to... I guess you can start us off.
Yeah, tell us about these flicks.
I'll be happy to. I was thinking about that on my way into the office today. It's a Kyle v. Kyle and a Ryan v. Ryan. And one of those is rarer than the other.
Yeah, these are like the only two movies that won for you.
Hey, you know what? And I was a little bitter that they went up against each other, but I have guaranteed myself one slot in the Sweet 16.
You have.
And I
will
heartily take that. So yeah, we are doing my one seed 1917 up against my 8 seed little indie darling Citizen Kane. As a brief reminder, 1917 is a, as Ryan and Brendan put it, a gimmick movie on par with 3D glasses about World War One. And Citizen Kane is a loose biopic on, I want to say Charles Randolph Hearst, but that's not correct. I know
William?
Hearst is the
Yeah, it's
last
William.
One. William! William Randolph Hearst! On Charles Kane, yeah.
On Charles III.
So, yeah, for any anybody who's not caught up, go listen to the episodes in the last season. They were some of our better ones.
We were mean about 1917.
I was listening to that one. It was, like, it didn't hit me nearly as hard, like, when we were doing it, but it was like, oh, damn, there's some venom here.
Yeah. And I stand by it. I stand by it, too. I formally acknowledge I was being mean.
I was in your corner, right?
You were. Actually, that was the thing, because this episode had come out, like, very soon after Inside Shin Godzilla, and I was like, Alex has, like, held the Kyle flag high for 2 episodes now and like did more of the heavy lifting than myself. So
hey, honestly,
I am indebted to
halfway through the Inside episode while we were recording, I did not remember that you had picked that movie. I thought Alex had.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, Brendan and I, we seem to fight on the same front quite often.
Yeah, unless it's
and
like
get
a
nasty about it.
Yeah, unless it's a movie like Rocketeer, that's really the only time that yeah. Kyle and I find common ground on some of this stuff.
Oh, I disagree. I think we find common ground a good bit.
Just not when it's
even if I'm left holding the flag by myself, I will come to bat. But yeah. So I guess right off the bat, who rewatched either of these? I did not.
I did both.
I'll be honest with you. I watched some clips of my favorite parts of Citizen Kane.
And John Adams.
Good enough.
And then I watched John Adams on HBO.
Yeah, I didn't watch any. I didn't even watch him the first time we recorded this.
And you know, I'd believe that. But we did watch Citizen Kane together, so I can only give you 50% of that
credit.
No,
we didn't. No, we
didn't.
Yeah,
we did. Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, you can't disprove me.
I don't know. I might be going right now.
We can't prove that Alex watched any of these movies. Yeah. Not even his own.
So I guess...
Didn't watch Ratatouille.
I guess... he didn't watch Ratatouille. That is true. Yeah, we're gonna do opening thoughts.
And kick.
I don't know. Do we want?
I mean, do you have any? It's your competition essentially right now. Do you have thoughts?
I was gonna say. So yeah, I mean, should we mix it up? Should? Oh well, I mean, I'm picking 1917.
Oh,
come on, what are you gonna?
I mean, yeah, that's by definition.
It's my
yeah,
exactly. I ranked.
Yeah, I guess there's not really any mystery here. I don't know why I asked.
Well, it's interesting because in the next episode, I'm actually very curious what Ryan's going to pick. But we'll get to that later. Yeah, I don't. Should the person whose movie it is do opening thoughts first? You know, let's mix it up.
Just give it to us.
Okay. I really like 1917. I put it a lot more eloquently in the last episode. This episode's going to be a lot more stuttering. And
I'll sum it up for you. You know, the movie's so beautiful. I could put it all up on my wall like a painting. There, that's what you said
okay.
the last time.
Now, you can be mean to the movie, but don't be mean to me.
I'm going to put Come the on. CGI rat on my wall like a painting.
Okay, come on. I'm still not doing great. I still did lose more in a row than anybody else. I'm still recovering from that, and there's a few movies I had that I'm reconsidering now. So let's take it easy. yeah, no, I mean, I still stand by 1917. I was saying before the pod, it's a bit of a busy time right now for me. And if it wasn't that, I easily would have watched 1917 again. Because I could watch that movie infinitely as many times in a row as possible. Because as Brendan put it in that episode, I am perfectly primed for it. And that's just morphine to me. And while Kane, I mean, undeniably is better, Citizen Kane, I'm not a moron. and I resonate with the themes of Kane as well. Again, 1917 is just, it's a different kind of experience for me. The only thing I was really getting upset about re-listening to the recording was Ryan shitting on the score. That's an insane take.
It was just that one part, which is correct in my opinion. It does sound like Hogwarts movie music.
By the way, Clashers, remember, Ryan and Brendan have all the editing power, so if they ever come out on top in an argument, that has been edited that way.
Yeah, it's been edited so that way you don't hear Kyle lose as sadly and as hardly as he does actually. Yeah.
The David Copperfield episode.
Just not easy to listen to.
The David Copperfield episode is really just a landslide in his favor, but you guys worked your magic.
Exactly.
So yeah, I guess that's pretty much my.
All right. Yeah.
I don't have that interest in opening thoughts. These are my movies. I like one better than the other, and I ranked them accordingly.
I'll hop in after you then. Both of these movies are good movies that I don't really like think about watching ever on my own. However, in between watching Citizen Kane last, I did rewatch The Last Emperor, and that really made me have an appreciation for these types of movies where you're just like following one person's life from beginning to end and just getting like these emotional payoffs to like little things set up early on. And so in light of that, it did make me think about Citizen Kane and just really appreciate it for the sort of craft of the writing of it and all those little payoffs and things like that that I think I complained about 1917 not really having a strong character that I can care about and stuff like that. So overall, I am leaning more to Kane, and I'm unabashedly saying that it's because it's more like The Last Emperor than 1917.
You have been just obsessed with The Last.
Listen, I got the credit. It was on sale. I got it, and I rewatched it after not having really seen it since middle school or high school. And I was just like
sophomore.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm in it. I'm back. Puyi, my emperor.
I don't
right
even
there.
Think I finished it in class, but I remember liking
it. It's very good.
It's like insanely long, right? I think like we spent like a whole week in class watching.
No, it's long for like some. It's also crazy to show that in a school. There's a part where he sucks on his like wet nurse's breast. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, well,
it's
just science, Brendan.
Well, it's crazy that we watch that in a school, but
Ryan, he's 10.
But also, like it's not as long as like Avengers Endgame. Like it's a regular length movie nowadays. It just feels long because it's from the 80s, and it's like, whoa, this movie's like 3 hours
yeah,
long.
Yeah, but Endgame was the culmination of a generation, Brendan. So it
well, this was the last emperor of a centuries old dynasty.
Well, so like I said, I did watch
derailed it a little bit there.
Yeah, we should talk. You often do, Brendan, to be fair. You often bring it back to some other thing that nobody else has watched.
And my pick goes to The Last Emperor.
I'd like to vote for that.
I did rewatch both of these, and I think the primary conclusion I came to is that 1917 is a good movie and Citizen Kane is a great movie, and that's why I prefer Citizen Kane. 1917, there's a lot that I do like about it, but it also dawned on me while I was watching it, the parts I remember of 1917 are the exact same parts I remember when I first saw it in theaters. Like, I don't ever get anything new out of it. I just remember the good parts, and that's all I really care about or connect with. And I was even watching it, I was like, this is probably the fifth time I've seen it now. I was like, I still don't remember the scene happening. It's just so uninteresting. But besides that,
wait, which scene? I'm curious.
Like when they're first getting briefed, for one, and then I forgot how long the sequence when he's with the lady is and giving her milk and stuff. Just like a lot of interim scenes like that are, I'm just like, wow, this is strangely long. And a lot of the trench stuff too. There's like a lot of little interactions in there, a lot of side characters and stuff, and it's just shocking how little of it I remembered. But anyhow, I was cackling during the Yakuza scene this time because I had recently edited that episode and I was really listening for it this time, and I just closed my eyes and listened to the music, and I just imagined the waterfalls trailing off the City of Gold in National Treasure 2 Book of Secrets. I rest my case. Citizen Kane moves forward.
Let me just interject real quick, if I may. I was under no inclination this episode that 1917 had a chance of moving forward. I don't even know what Alex is about to say, but obviously, if in a snowball's chance in hell, 1917 were to tie, I don't know if people know this, but Citizen Kane is very well regarded, so I don't think I'd be winning in the critic comparison.
Kyle, I just wish that this matchup was National Treasure 2 against The Last Emperor. I think that would have been a much more interesting matchup.
I mean, you say that? Legitimately, yes, it would have been.
I like when he pours water on the rock and it makes an eagle. That's bad.
I like when he kidnaps the president.
Oh, yeah.
Did that show ever come
out? Yes,
back?
And it's everything I thought it would be, which is shit.
Well, that's sad, I guess.
No, it's fun. You should watch it.
They are or aren't making a third one with Nick Cage?
They aren't.
But, like, they've announced they're going to make it, quote-unquote, but they're probably never going to? Or
no, the only thing that I believe the last news, not to digress our show into talking about National Treasure rumors, but I think the last thing that was ever said was Bruckheimer said, when I'm done with Pirates, I'll do National Treasure 3. And then he's never done with Pirates. So, like, I think it's the next thing that he's doing is a reboot of Pirates.
He's doing it again?
A reboot?
Yeah. So I think we're just...
What? There hasn't been a reboot of Pirates yet.
None. But he's, like, done a bunch of Pirates movies. I know they're rebooting it. I didn't know that he was also doing the reboot.
I think he's in charge of that. But then who knows? Because then Johnny Depp got mad about that.
Well, Johnny Depp didn't want to do it anymore.
And then there was a lawsuit.
All right, we're transitioning over to the Pirates of the Caribbean podcast now. Okay, keep going, Brandon.
Okay. I've replaced the barb sounds with boat noises.
All right, now we will obviously get off of Pirates of the Caribbean, but Brennan, can you please do your best Bill Nighy impression real quick?
The crew belongs to the Dutchman, and the Dutchman must have a captain. Will ye serve?
Pretty good. That's
good. I love that man.
That's real good.
And Clashers, if you subscribe to our Patreon, you can hear our 4-hour-long Oscars discussion where Brendan takes up 25% of that doing Bill Nighy impressions.
He should have won. He was robbed. He was robbed. Brendan Fraser didn't deserve that award. Recall that award.
Anyway.
Alex, what did you think of the movies?
Yeah, it won't. I did not rewatch them, but unfortunately, God, they will not be tying because I favor Citizen Kane over 1917.
Yeah,
sort of like what Brendan said. Where, I mean, I definitely have a more positive outlook on that movie than either Brendan or Ryan. But yeah, like I kind of every time I think of 1917, I think of the same parts, the same really beautiful scenes, sort of the emotional scenes. But with Citizen Kane, like I think about the movie in its whole, just the whole thing is just a more interesting movie. It's got, you know, 1917 isn't striving to be a really deep character study, nor should it, but just Citizen Kane has more to sort of sink your teeth into. And I wish I did rewatch it for this, because I've been really wanting to rewatch that movie. The emotional payoff I got at the end of that movie, finding out what Rosebud was about, that's a core memory for me.
I mean, that is like an all-time great like moment in cinema, is just is finally knowing and just letting that wash over you.
Probably. Yeah, no, we would have spoiled that in the last
episode, right? We would have.
Okay.
We talked about that extensively. It is really weird comparing the two movies, because it is two movies with wildly different priorities. Like, as much as you might be, as much as it may have insulted you when Ryan and I called the movie a gimmick movie, 1917 is mainly concerned with spectacle. Like, it is trying to be a spectacle, regardless of if you view the type of spectacle as a gimmick or not. That's what it wants to be. And, like, Citizen Kane is something to behold, but it's so concerned with character payoff and development and showing these relationships be built and then destroyed that, I don't think I could remove the visuals of 1917 and still enjoy whatever was left, but I could read the script of Citizen Kane and fall in love with everything there in much of the same way that I would have with the actual film. Like, it's just so methodically written.
That's really well said, and I mean, obviously I'd have to agree. If you remove the visuals from 1917, you're left with like
a bad Call of Duty campaign
from the war that didn't, like, half the pages got destroyed. I mean, you know, we were talking before this, like, it's not easy to, like, have a discussion, really, with this one. 'Cause, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of thinking, like, if anybody's here and for some reason hasn't listened to the last episode, or even if you have, on Citizen Kane, and you haven't watched Citizen Kane, like, go watch it. I mean, like, truly, you'll watch it, and even if you don't like it, I gotta imagine you'll be like, I do understand why this is what it is. Like, it's just a monolith of this craft, and for good reason.
Came out in the 40s?
And then read some stuff about Orson Welles, because I think that anyone would just find that man to be incredibly interesting, and his approach to filmmaking and all that, just super interesting. Like, there's a reason why that is, like, the filmmaker of his generation, because there is very few people that were competing as heavily as he was.
Yeah.
Of course, today, like, he doesn't really have any lasting impression.
Yeah, he really stopped putting out movies. can we get him on the horn? Can we ask him what happened there?
Orson Welles fell off.
What's going on with Orson Welles?
Yeah, the last movie he was in was Me and Orson Welles with Zac Efron, and I thought he looked kind of weird in that. He didn't really look like himself, and I thought it was weird that he'd be in a Zac Efron movie, to be honest. You guys remember me and Orson Welles?
You talked about this last time, yeah. Didn't you?
I know.
You did. And no one still knows.
No one saw it in the interim. It's been months. You had so many opportunities.
Didn't do my homework. Sorry, Mondo. But I don't know. I think even that considered, I prefer the imagery and visuals of Kane to 1917 as well. I find it a lot more memorable and interesting.
And Kyle,
composition's concerned.
I think what Ryan brings up is the legacy. Like, there is so much in modern cinema, especially modern American cinema, that is owed to a lot of the trailblazing, unique and inventive techniques that were pioneered in stuff like Citizen Kane by Welles. And even if people don't know where it comes from, I think there is just an implicit and unspoken amount of influence that Orson Welles has. I mean, any like of the major directors that came after him credit Citizen Kane as being a major inspiration. Like, even if like random Joe Schmo on Twitter is like, I would never watch a movie older than 1980 because that's when they put characters on macaroni. You know, like
what?
No, it's a real thing. I've seen that guy. Anyway, go on, Brett.
But you know, even if that guy like doesn't ever know or appreciate the contribution of Orson Welles, it's like, well, the movies he's watching do, and the people who make the movies still, I think, do.
It's still better than 90% of stuff that comes out. So.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say higher than that. I'll give it a solid 97%. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that comes
That's
out.
True.
Like,
yeah, Amazon really. I mean, it raised the bar.
Amazon, Netflix.
Because, like, think about it like this: there's still straight to DVD movies being made, and then there's also straight to streaming, and now it's just two markets of trash.
Well, Kyle, do you have a swan song to save your boy?
I will just put out and it'll be a bit of a rehash of what I've already stated. But just to give it a final whimper on its way out. I was listening to the 1917 episode. I was listening to a lot of the points you were making, Ryan, and comparing it to like Saving Private Ryan, and asking me like, do you not get those themes of sacrifice and self out of Saving Private Ryan and other war movies that you know, I think most people here hold higher, and like I said, I do, but it really is. Like, I don't know, the almost like ticking clock motif that exists in 1917, and then just that final culmination of the ending trench sequence to him running above the trenches. I truly, like, hyperbole aside, that will never diminish for me. It's a topic I'm really interested in. It's a theme that I probably care about more than any other theme that can be displayed, being human excellence. And yeah, I mean, it really is, to me, it's perfect. You know, I'm happy it at least got to the round of 32. I'm happy that maybe someone else is going to watch it now. Maybe one of our 26 audience members.
Wow, you have the number down.
Yeah. Well, you know, I check. Yeah, it is. It is. It's really special to me.
Well, and I want to, you know, yeah.
Citizen Kane be damned.
And I want to add on to that, like, no joke. After watching All Quiet on the Western Front, it did make me appreciate 1917 more, because I was like, wow, yeah, like, this is like, what if that movie just didn't move? You know what I mean? Like, because All Quiet on the Western Front is kind of, is. I mean, it's the same war. It's a very similar kind of movie to 1917. And, like, Inception, it just doesn't have that, like, yeah, as you said, like, time, ticking time clock going on with it. And, yeah, it like, I don't know, yeah, like, 1917, and not just because it was in English, but 1917, I did greatly enjoy that movie, and I felt like my heartstrings get pulled a lot more in 1917. Versus All Quiet on the Western Front, because that movie had a lot of the same problems of 1917, but it was longer and more agonizing. You know, like, so, like, I will say, Kyle, that I have appreciated 1917 more since I watched it last, in light of you know, the movies that have come out since, and just thinking about it, like, genuinely, it. I was being mean. I stand by what I said, but I was saying it with a with a comical meanness befitting of a podcast.
With a wry smile, yeah, that no one would be able to see.
A wry smile and a rakish tilt of my cap. Just so everyone knows, I've been wearing a Panama hat this entire time.
We're very prone to cut out Brendan's massive monologues on oil and banana republics that he's mounting up in Central America.
See, I Kyle, I drink your milkshake. I slurp it up.
Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else got any final thoughts on either?
No, not really.
Nothing you guys haven't already said.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, no surprise. Citizen Kane's moving forward. And it's fantastic at that. Yeah, I just... my final note is I know they get clowned on a lot in today's media and are called dad movies a lot of the time, but I think war movies are really important.
I had no idea what you were going to say, Kyle. I was like, what is he about to say on this recording?
going out.
So you think what movies are really important?
War movies. I think there's a lot
but
to be
is 1917 a war movie, Kyle?
It is. I went on a massive monologue is about it... this. Now, I did restrain myself from saying... All Quiet is an anti-war movie, but again, you can hear that on the last episode. You can hear my.
Is it more of a war movie than Star Wars? Because that movie has war in the name, Kyle.
All right. I technically, this is the year of a war, so kind of transitive.
But other stuff happened in 1917, Kyle. Like, I'm sure a baby was born.
Okay. Anyway, one thing I did want to, and we can cut this if you guys want, but I was thinking a fun addition to these could be what we think the film's success rate is going to be going forward in the bracket, like how much legs it has.
I think Citizen Kane's got legs.
I'd have to agree. I might say it's gonna win this quad.
Yeah, it's gotta go up against something truly spectacular. Like, to me, the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head that would beat it is like Children of Men.
It's gonna go up against Bo Burnham Inside.
I don't think so. Actually, I think that it will go up against City of God.
City of God,
and,
yeah.
And that's actually stinker. That's a tough pairing, but
it'll be a good matchup. But yeah, no, I think Citizen Kane's gonna have a lot of legs. I think I did pick one winner out of 16.
Well, hey, we haven't even got.
Well, let me take it back. I picked two winners out of 16. Stay tuned for Green Mile v. Push.
I was gonna say we haven't seen Green Mile's legs.
Green Mile,
Mr. Coffee,
veiny,
or whatever.
Vascuous,
you know, he's
legs.
Got that match.
The Green Mile's legs look like Lance Armstrong's legs.
That was his name, wasn't it? Wasn't it Mr. Coffee?
What? What are you talking about?
What was the guy's name in Green Mile? Yeah, wasn't it Mr.
He's
Coffey?
He's talking about Michael Clark Duncan.
It's John Coffey.
John Coffey.
Mr. Well, Coffey.
Well, I'm being respectful of him. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know him personally.
All right.
Well. So, oh, that's the waitress. Oh, she's brought over our beer cheeses and pretzels, and I think we're moving on to the next one.
Yeah. We're past our first course. We're on to the next.
See you guys there. And then that's the end of it.
Right.
What?
What are you not doing?
What do you mean?
Is it the roll bonus?
You gotta say it.
Oh, bye-bye.
Thank God you freed us.